Jimmy John's, America's number one sandwich delivery, fast Ed speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good, but I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, freaky fast, freaky fresh.
Go. Go.
Hey, hey. Got the kind of love making me say, yeah, baby. Baby. Oh, baby.
Short
fuck the hotel room, cause it's about to go down. Down. You night my mic, I'm about to put on a show now. We ain't gotta go far, in the back of my car, I'm entering your town. I'ma touch the place that you thought was lost, baby girl, have now been found. I'ma hit the spot, that'll make your ass come off top. I'ma speak the words, get you wet before them panties drop. But you're yelling out to me, your dick is so amazing. It's the kind of dick right here that'll keep your ass from aging. Baby girl, I'm a soldier, and your life, girl, I've been stationed. You looking for a real man, then no longer waiting, girl. I said, some of these clowns, they say they won. They put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down. But see, I'm that type of real man. Tell me your life and girl, I'm shutting down. Oh, because it came.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of 10 City Radio. It's your boy Cash, chilling as usual. With my man, Father Time. Father Time, what's good, brother?
What's cracking, Doc?
Oh, man, you know how we doing, networking and politicking like we always do about this time. So, now you know we got to bring in our lovely Miss Janine. Janine, what's happening, baby?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up?
What's up? Man?
What's up? Butter, what's happening, baby?
How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm geeked. I'm just super geeked. I mean, tonight's show is just something that's gonna be something of epic proportions, people. We gonna do it. We gonna have a ball tonight. You know what I'm saying? We got none other than one of the most controversial authors to come out the Midwest. You know what I'm saying? This brother, I mean, dude is controversial to say the least. I mean, man, I mean, the dude is so controversial that I actually had a message. And I'm just going to put this out here. I'm just going to put this out here right now. This is 10 City PSA. I got a message today that told me that if I put this guy on the show, that we're going to have some problems. And I asked him, I said, what problems with who? And they said, hey, motherfucker, there's going to be problems with us and you. So I'm taking it like we're going to have some real problems if I put this guy on the show. So without further ado, I want to introduce my man, Mr. Samuel Holloway. Sam, what's up, baby?
What's good, man?
Oh, man, we chilling. We chilling. How you feeling?
I'm feeling real good, bro.
Okay, that's what's up. What's up?
Hey,
just another PSA. No, I got just one more PSA.
Go ahead.
You think you want to run your ass up on me or my man Father Time or whoever, don't let this radio shit fool you. You will get your ass fucked up.
Right. Don't be no fool. Don't be no fool.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't get fucked up. Don't let this radio, don't let these jokes and shit fool you, because we will beat your motherfucking ass. Now, on that note, Sam, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I can't complain.
Man, okay. So, you know, like I said, man, you are like, oh, man. From the day we said that you was coming on the show, oh, man, I done got good and bad. I done got all kind of, you know, I got, hey, there's a great thing you're doing, letting him on the show, speaking his mind. Then I had, man, don't let him come on that show. He full of shit. He going to be bullshitting. He just trying to get some shit started. He just trying to sell his book. Man. Sam, I mean, with all the attention that goes on with you, because this got to be, I mean, let me ask you, when you first set out for this book, man, I mean, did you think it was going to get this much attention?
I kind of did, because I know that the people that I wrote about, they're very well known, you know what I'm saying, as far as in our little town, you know, in Gary, but as far as like outside communities, Atlanta, California, things like that, them places, I didn't think people were really looking at it.
Okay, we got a little feedback somewhere, Okay. All right, so, I mean, with that being said, Sam, I mean, it's like you just, it was no holds barred.
No, I mean, if you're going to tell a story, you got to tell it all, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat some stuff and tell this and tell that and not tell this. I'm going to tell it all, bro. You know, it's my life. This is what happened to me. God saved me. Like, I felt like, you know, I could have died. I could have been killed November 2nd, 2010. And after all that went down, I just was like, you know what? He left me here for a reason. So why not tell my story? And I know it's going to hurt people. I know it's going to piss people off. It's going to make somebody sad, mad, and all that. But at the end of the day, it's my story. And it's not just my story.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a lot of
no,
other
yeah.
stories.
Well,
dang.
Oh, okay. I mean, okay. Wait a minute. You say you just ran off a date. I mean, can I ask what happened that day?
November 2nd, 2010, in Dallas, Texas. I was married to a man, and my other half had me set up. I got robbed and carjacked.
God. He set you up?
Yeah, set me up. We had a bad breakup. Going through a lot, cheating, and just a lot of things that you wouldn't think a man would experience that, because, you know, it's two men. But generally, that's something that a woman and a man will go through, you know, domestic violence, things that we don't talk about because we feel like, you know, it's nobody else's business. Well, I was in a domestic violence relationship, and I loved him, and I didn't want to leave. And I went through a lot of things, and at the end, he set me up with the guys that sleeping with. I got robbed and carjacked. I got beat with some guns, some pipes. He pulled the trigger four times, the gun jam. And I got beat in my mouth with a gun, so I went through five surgeries in my mouth and about three surgeries on my body.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
It wasn't nothing but meant for you to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just,
yo,
I had I had my last surgery in my mouth like 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
And
wow.
This happened 5 years. So, you know, God is good. I'm here, and he left me here to tell a story. He left me here to help, because nobody helped me when I was going through this. So I'm not going to say nobody helped me, I didn't have support like people should have. You know, children and teens and young adults, they should have a lot of support. And when you don't have support, you do things that you don't really have no business doing. You know, you find yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, can I ask you, you were talking about books that you wrote. You know, what are your books about for the people who don't know?
Both my books, Eyes Without a Face and How It All Happened, are both about my life. I'm really just the voice behind the book because the story actually happened to me, but it involves rape, molestation, child abuse, domestic violence, having sex with DL men, HIV, AIDS, bullying, rejection, you name it, I've probably been through it.
Okay.
So I want to ask, you say you didn't have the support, going through all of this, did you not have the support of your family at all?
At the time, as a child, no. Growing up, I would say like 21, 25, I had some of my family. I'm just now having all of my family like 5 years ago.
So, like, they support the fact that you have basically told your whole situation.
My family supports everything now. Like, they're my biggest fans, you know, like, they my side. Sometimes you have to see some things out on Facebook, you know, you have to see some things out in the social media to actually change your mind the way that you were thinking. For instance, my brother, you know, growing up, I didn't have a relationship with my brother. My brother couldn't stand me because I was gay, and that was the reason that the door was so open and easily available for his friends to do what they did.
So, do you think that
hold on for a second, buddy, before you do that. Hey, won't you introduce yourself again for the new listeners for me, please?
My name is Samuel Holloway. I'm the author of Eyes Without a Face and How It All Happened. It's a story about emotional, physical abuse. You name it, I've gone through it. It's basically just it's books to help people. It's an inspirational book. It's a motivational book. It's a book to let you know that it's not the end of the road. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Shit happens, you know, and we still got to go on regardless. It's not what happens to you that makes you. It's the outcome, you know. It's about how you pick yourself back up after you've been through so much shit.
Okay, we were talking earlier before the show started, and I just wanted to get – when did all this start, Sam? I just heard you say that your brother's friends, you know, so, I mean, when did all this start? Like, how old were you?
Everything started at 8 years old. My mother's boyfriend molested me starting at 8, and that ended at 10. After 10, I started having sex with two of my second cousins, not my mother's nieces and nephews, but my mother's cousins. And after that, 11 to 12, I started having sex with all of my brother's friends. Just about all of them. There's more that's not listed in the book because they were after the fact of me turning a teenager, you know, 15. So at 15, 14, 15, I knew, you know, like, you know, these are grown men, you know, but I didn't look at it as being molested. I felt like I was turning niggas out in the hood, you know? I'm being a gay dude, and I'm getting all these straight hood niggas that got these baby moms, girlfriends, they kill us, and, you know, they thugs. So I'm just figuring, you know, I'm turning out niggas in the hood. Me and all my friends, we're joking about it. But at 21, I realized that they were molesting me.
So, I mean, let me ask you, Were they coming to you? I mean, were you trying to entice them, or they were just like
Everybody came to me. My first person was Alex McKinley. He's deceased now. He was from the Bronx, and I was giving him head at 12 years old. You know, he would say, "Come over to my house, come play with my toys." And his toys wasn't, I mean, he would have toys, but it would eventually lead to me giving him head. And after that, I started with Michael Moore, which is Antonio Davis. Everybody knows him as Coop. He's in jail now for murder and rape, a couple other things or whatever, but that's his brother. And I started off with giving him head, which he came back and brought his homeboy with him. And from there, they just was, you know, telling all their friends.
Wow.
All right, now let me stop you right there. Now, if we got a lot of people listening. For everybody that's listening, if you want to ask a question or something, you got to push one. And for the people listening on the internet, if you want to ask a question, you got to call in at 646-727-1283, and we'll get you in, and you can ask any question that you want. You're gonna be 100. You're gonna be 100 tonight, right, man?
I'm always 100, bro.
That's what's up. There y'all have
okay.
it. If you got a question, 646-727-1283. If you're already on the show, push one and we'll bring you in.
I have a question. So with the you being molested at the age of 8, did you know before the age of 8 that you were gay? Or
yeah.
because of being molested?
Yeah. No. I knew I was gay when I was a kid, you know, when I was little. But that choice was taken away from me. I didn't have a choice to be straight. I was already having sex with men, so I couldn't choose to be straight. You know, everybody has this whole thing of, you know, people are born straight. That's not true. You know, you're born who you are born. I was born gay. I know that I had feelings for a man way before I got touched. But due to being touched, I could not be straight because I liked what I was already doing. I was accustomed to doing that. That was my norm for me. So having sex with a girl was alpha norm. And yes, I have had sex with a girl when I was 13 years old, and I've had plenty of pussy later, but that's not what I want.
That was my next question. I chose it to be like, yo,
yeah,
I mean, did you ever try to want it, but...
Plenty of pussy. You know, people always say, quiet. You know, I can change you. No, I fuck pussy. I ate pussy. I don't want pussy. Pussy ain't for me. Unless it's 10 or pretty penny, then I'll take it.
All right, hold on, y'all.
Hold on.
Hold on for a second, y'all. We got Tina. Tina on the show. She says she has a comment for you. All right, go ahead, Tina.
All right. Sam, love you. Been with
love you.
Love you
too, buddy.
I've been doing you damn near all your life. I know what you've been through. What you did in your book, I applaud you for that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you as a friend, some things may have ruffled a few feathers. I just want you to stay strong. And everything
you
got going on, stay strong. Because you always have me. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Well, that's what's up, Tina. That's what's up.
Beautiful.
You as soon as you jumped out there, you jumped out there with names. Now, earlier today, I seen I'm not going to call it a Facebook beef. But it was more or less like it was some words being thrown back and forth with you and someone. I'm not even sure who the guy's name is, but I mean, was he one of the guys that allegedly supposedly did this to you?
You talking about the picture that I posted today?
Yeah. I seen his rebuttal. And I seen him write that he know that some things happened to you, but he wasn't one of the guys that did it to you. So he was like, he don't know.
Let's not forget, before he said that, first he said nothing happened, that gay dude lying and this, that, and the third. Then he came back with, there's some part truth to that, but he ain't one of the dudes that did it. Maybe his friends did, but you just defended your friends in a post before that. you got to keep up with the lies. You know, it's hard to keep up with your lies when you're lying. You got to keep on spinning it. This story ain't changed.
Then, like, put your friends under the bus trying
right
to keep your
lies. This story, Eyes Without a Face, nor how it all happened, have changed since December 27th, 2011. We're going 4 years strong with no lawsuits yet. And I'd be damned if somebody posts my name on any social media site and they're slandering me. I'm going to see their ass in court. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. I'm not going to go to Facebook and be like, oh, he's lying and that's it. Hell no, I'm going to see you in a court of law. Nigga, you saying I touched you. I made you do things and you were a child and I'm a grown-ass man. Come on now. Put two and two together. It takes a fool to believe some shit like that, or a person that's in denial.
All right, hold on, y'all. We got A. Rashad. He said he got a comment for you, bro. Go ahead, Rashad.
What's going on, Sam? Just a mirror.
What's going on, bro?
Nothing much. I've been dealing with my dad on medical leave right quick, but I'll be that back down there to see you in a minute. I'm just glad you're getting this story out. You know, I done bought both of your books. I done sold a few of them for sent folks your way. And I just want to say I'm so, so happy for you and your new relationship. But I know it's more about the book. But I'm just glad you're doing your thing, bro. And, you know, we ain't going to never forget. We ain't going to never stop repping the 219.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Okay.
Like
now,
it.
I got a question.
Go ahead. You said you was molested by your mom's boyfriend?
Yeah.
Did you ever, like, go to your mom's and tell her, like, hey, he's doing this to me?
No. Me and my mother didn't have a relationship to where I could go to tell her that. And plus, he scared me. You know what I'm saying? As far as threatening me, putting me over water, holding my arm, dangling me over water. He worked at the Gary Steel Mill. And he drove me there one day and threatened me. It was like he was gonna kill my mother and my brother. And so I just was like, you know, a child. I'm 8 years old. Who's gonna tell?
Right.
You know,
right.
So it just progressed. It went from him rubbing on me to him touching me, putting his fingers in me. We both sucking each other. And instead of me telling my mother, I told my teacher because I felt more comfortable with my teacher. And that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, so you think about all these kids are here. Think about this. Somebody put on Facebook from Gary a couple of years ago a picture of two boys. One dude was a little hood dude. Another dude was a gay boy. And they were kids. But the little hood dude had a gun. And they asked, what would you rather have, a gay son or a thug boy? And everybody said they would rather have a thug boy. You know what I'm saying? They said that if they had the gay son, they would whoop his ass. They would beat him straight. You can't beat no damn gay boy straight. Only thing you can do is that boy run to the street and look for love.
And become worse.
Every child is looking for love. So you're going to make that child run to the street and look for love. And what are they going to find? The wrong shit. Come on. But this is what we do because we were brought up in these little hood-ass communities. So we feel like, no, we can't have no child that's gay. That's not a part of me because I don't make gay seeds. But we're going to let our child go out in the street, suck dick, get fucked for money because they're going to be trying to survive. And then you're going to be complaining that your child is out there hoeing. They're going to have AIDS and HIV because you simply didn't love your child because they was gay. But you would rather take the thug-ass little boy that's going to be out here murdering people and robbing motherfuckers and end up in jail.
Or dead.
You know what I'm saying? But that's our mind frame. Some of us got this fucked-up-ass mentality. And we can't get past that. We can't get past the norm because we too fucking worried about what the next motherfucker thinking. They don't pay your damn bills. That's your goddamn seed. Love your damn child. It's niggas in the hood right now from 22nd that got a gay son. It's my godson. And that nigga don't love his child like he loved the rest of his kids because his son is gay. And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You gotta love your child regardless to what it. I mean, whatever.
That's your child.
Whatever
that's your child.
He or she decides to be.
Child like you. It's not about accepting your child's sexuality. Nobody is telling you to accept that. I'm telling you to accept your child because that's your damn child. The blood runs the same.
Fuck the sexuality. Fuck the shell. Look at your child. Stop being so, you know, we look at so much on the outside that we forget so much what's on the inside.
No, that's true. I'll give you that one. Now, but let me ask you, have you ever, I mean, since the book's been out, have you ran across any of these people that you named in this book?
Yes. My first book came out, like I said, December 27, 2011. And, no, I would say in the writing part, I ran across Alex McKinley. And we were in Gary, Indiana, and I told him that I was writing a book. I was married at the time. And he met me on Fifth Avenue with my cousin. And I told him what was going on. And to him, I guess he thought it was a joke. He didn't believe me. He didn't care. He still was coming on to me in front of my husband. Everybody else
wow.
was in jail or dead. Or in the hood still. You know, they're just irrelevant as far as looking them in the face. There's no need to see them up close. We know what's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but, like I said, I never knew about the book until this past summer. I never knew anything about the book. Like I was telling you earlier, you know, I didn't know anything about it until I saw the pictures. And when I saw the pictures, I'm like, whoa, I know a couple of these motherfuckers. Like, wow. You know, like,
I mean,
what the fuck?
What
like,
kills
hold on,
me
man.
Is that I heard, like, all the time, I would hear, like, all the big doughboys got them a pretty boy sitting in the passenger side, and they act like that's just their friend, but that's they giving them head and all this, and I just be
now,
like,
if you only knew.
Tell me, spill the tea. Come on now.
So it's not just Gary, but being that I'm from Gary, it's like, damn, like, you know, you got all these dudes, and like I said, they're the hood people. They're the killers, the drug dealers. They bangers, you know, and they fine as shit. And they all got baby mama wives. But they all fucking, and I'm going to say all, some of them are fucking niggas. And some of them are fucking niggas that got AIDS. Not HIV, but AIDS. And that's just real. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're not giving no women no choices. You're just out there. You don't know what's going on because you're not looking for it because you don't think that they could be having sex with men because they're not giving you that facade. You know, they're more masculine and hardcore. And when they see a gay dude, they going off. That should be your first cue right there. Any straight man that got a problem with a gay man, them be the main ones that fuck niggas. Why do you give a fuck about what a gay dude doing? You have to think about that.
As long as he ain't putting his hands on you, coming on to you, being disrespectful, then you shouldn't care what
he
doing.
Problem. You know what I'm saying? Live your damn life. But them closeted niggas be the ones that be fucking niggas. And I see them all the time on Facebook, and I call their ass out every time. Don't try me. Nigga, you're gay. You get your dick sucked or you be in there sucking dick. Keep it real. All
right, hold on for a second. We got Judy. Judy has a comment for you, bro. Go ahead, Judy.
Hey, Sam. It's your cousin. I just wanted to tell you.
I knew your voice.
I just want to tell you that regardless of whatever you've been through, I know sometimes our family can be a little hard to deal with, but whatever happened to you, not everyone else, nobody else knows the struggle, doesn't bother, you know, me, what you had to say, even though I was hesitant to read and buy the book, but I still support it and I still read them. So at the end of the day, I love you. I wish you nothing but the best and tell your story.
Thank you. I love you, everyone.
That's what's up. I mean, you seem to have a lot of supporters, man. I mean, you seem to have a whole bunch of people that back you. So, I mean, like I said, I know for a fact that I'm not going to say you got just as many, but I know that there's a lot of negative people. So it's like when you, I mean, because you really, I mean, like tonight, you, I mean, you calling out names, and a lot of these people are like, Oh, God. I mean, you got a lot of people quivering, man. So it's like, how do you maintain a, do you feel like, okay, if I come to Gary, I know I got to watch my back?
First, I'm going to start off by saying you shouldn't have did it. If you're going to feel bad or you're going to feel like you want to kill me, or you fucking did. You know what I'm saying? You should have thought about that before you acted on it. And I was a child. Regardless of what anybody has to say, I was a child. So, yeah, as far as coming to Gary, when I come to Gary, I don't make it come to Gary because I know that it's out there for me. My head is on the top of it. And that's okay because I knew that when I did what I did. When I wrote this book, I knew that my life was going to be on. And that's fine because as long as I can save your child, your grandkid, your friend's friend, I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? It's not even about me. It's not about me. It's about all the youth out there because what happened to me still goes on today. It's a new set of generational niggas that's out there molesting kids. So what happened to me, I'm just trying to make sure that it stops at me. I can't stop everything, but I can make people aware. So, I mean, it is what it is, bro. I'm not pressing.
Okay, that's what's up. Okay, we got
I applaud you for that.
We got Stacy on the line. Stacy, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. This is Stacy's Tina's sister-in-law. I want to commend you I want to commend you on everything that you're doing. I read both of your books, and you have been a leeway to people who is really scared to come out to say they've been molested as a child. Even adults get molested and scared to come forward. So I really commend you, and you keep your head up. Because to me, if a person's lying, like you said, oh, I'm taking you to court. So ain't nobody went to that step to say, I'm taking you to court, you're lying on me. Then you keep your head up because you know you're telling the truth. And I just wanted to commend you on the good job you're doing, and I love your book.
I love it. Thank you. And Stacey did threaten me to court. Him and his fiance, I need to tell. But we still ain't went to court yet, and it's been 4 years.
Wow.
Okay, well, we got Timothy on the line. Timothy, what's happening?
What's going on, Sam?
What's going on, Bestie?
How you doing, Bestie? You know, as always, I gotta support you in everything that you do because you are the voice for those of us like myself who just don't have the courage and willpower to say and speak on the things that have happened. So, as always, I commend you. You keep doing what you're doing. You know I'm always going to be here for you and support you, even though sometimes you raise a couple of hairs up my neck sometimes. But, you know, that's what best friends do. And I love you to the fullest, and you know I always got your back.
I love you, too. Thank you.
All right, now, on that note, like I say, we got a lot of people listening. If you got questions or comments, all you got to do is push one.
I'm muted because there's a lot of
people. If you want to listen to, if you want to call in to the show, the number is 646-727-1283. If you got questions, you got comments, we'll bring you in. You can ask him, and he'll answer them honestly. You know what I'm saying?
And I think we have a caller who think they muted their own phone, but you didn't, because I just heard you say you muted it. But
I have a question for Sam.
Okay.
You know, speaking from a person that was molested, okay, and I have family members who also have went through that. Me personally, I can't say, and this is my own opinion, that if I was not molested, I wouldn't have turned out differently. You see what I'm saying? You know how people always say, I knew I was gay. But me knowing, you know, what I know now and I've gotten older, it's like, you know, that opportunity was taken from you to know exactly what you were, you know, what you could have been. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
Because it's natural to experiment like that as children anyway. So my thing is, when it's taken from you, you know, at a young age, and you're taught to like a certain way, then it seems like that's what we tend to gravitate toward. You see what I mean? Because that's what we were taught.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's hard for me to say, you know, oh, you know, I like women because I was molested. I can't really say that. Or I was, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. It's confusing. And when this happens to you as a child, you know, I don't really know how I would have turned out because, you know, that opportunity was taken from me.
And then what's sad about it is so many people who have been molested, generations after generations after generations,
mm-hmm.
and scared and embarrassed, fearful, not knowing who's gonna believe them. So I mean,
that's the main thing right there is who's gonna believe you. You know,
mm-hmm.
when I wrote both books, Eyes Without a Face and How It All Happened, I didn't
mm-hmm.
give a damn who didn't believe me. I didn't
mm-hmm.
care, you know. And when I first wrote these books, I didn't put names. I didn't put the real names in a book. Everybody had a fake name. And then I went back and I changed as far as like my family members and my friends, and I put those as real names. And right before we went to print, I said, you know what? These niggas, some of them still live in the hood. Why not tell the world and help somebody else's child? So then I changed
mm-hmm.
their real names, and I added their nicknames and how many brothers and sisters they got and where exactly they lived at in the project. And then I sent out free books to the project just to make sure that everybody knew who the fuck I was talking about. And this way you couldn't have no confusion.
Damn. Okay, hold on, y'all. We got Keisha on the line. Keisha, what's happening?
Oh, nothing. Hey, Sam. I wanted
hey,
to ask you a question about Cedric Parker, the renegade Fed, and the rumors that's going around.
He's not in my book.
Is it a reason why he's not in your book?
He's not in the book. My loyalty is with Cedric.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, what the hell was that?
What the hell was that just about?
Exactly.
He just got left.
I gotta ask, what the fuck was that just about?
I don't know. My loyalty was with Cedric, so I mean, I guess she heard something out there. I mean, because of course, you know, the rumors are flying off the mill. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a name that they want. You know, they got a question because somebody hung with somebody that's gay. Everybody that hang with somebody that's gay is not gay. I got a lot of straight-ass friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But being that I hung with him, everybody is under the assumption that we've had sex. And I have pictures with him, too. But at the end of the day, my loyalty is with him. I'm not going to disclose that yes or no to anybody.
I can dig it.
Well, she tried. She tried to get the answer.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
she gonna make
right,
an answer out of that one.
All right, we got the Petty King. The Petty King. Petty King, you on here?
Yeah, I'm
Petty
on here.
King.
What's happening?
What's
up, Petty Duck?
What's up? Hey, Sam.
What's good, bro?
Hey, I'm trying to get my fish tank put in the background on your next book.
Hey, Sam.
I talked to Savannah, so if it don't go on her background, can it go on your background?
I'm going to have to think about that.
For sure. Hey, Sam, keep getting these pussy-ass niggas out. They need to be exposed.
I know, right? For real, for real.
Yeah. Well, I'm drugging me some 1800 and eating me some turkey wings, so I just wanted to drop in.
That's what's up, man.
$1,800 turkey wings, huh? $1,800 turkey wings. Boy, that motherfucker be in the bathroom like a motherfucker. But okay, we got Maya on the line. Maya, what's happening?
What's going on?
What's going on?
You
on duty?
Hey now.
You almost called me out, man. I just wanted to say that a lot of people fail to realize that everything happens for a reason. And there's a reason behind everything that we go through in life. And I don't feel like what you went through was just for you. I feel like everything you went through was for a completely different generation out there of people. So regardless of what everybody else got to say, God knew exactly who to choose. He knew exactly who was going to be able to step up, who was going to be bold enough to put these niggas out there. Because there's a lot of kids going through the same thing, just like Timothy said. They're not bold enough. They don't have enough courage to speak up, but you did have the courage to speak up. And everything that you went through is blessing people out there. Even the people that hate, even the people that don't even say nothing, it's cool. You got a whole generation of people out there that need to hear what's being said. And just like you wrote those books, you got book number one, book number two, book number three coming. But guess what? I see a movie coming too because I want to see the visual. And then you're going to really make a move.
Thank you.
Because people need to look at it. People need to see that this shit real. It's not no game. It's not no joke when you're playing with a child's life. Because at the end of the day, regardless if you already knew what your sexuality was, it's something that ruins a child when they're molested and when they're going through this. It's a mental thing that's going on every day.
Every day.
Yeah. You
every
got people
day.
Even grown men that's on the DL, it's something not right. It's something not right mentally. Even if they're sleeping with women and men, it's something that's not going right in their mind where they can't just know and be damn gay like they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or they feel like they're not the child. See, it's a generational thing. It just keep going and going and going like a cycle. But until people start stepping up and dealing with the main issue, we're going to keep having the same problems generation after generation. So you keep doing what you're doing because it's only the beginning of change that needs to take place.
Thank you.
But that's all I had to say.
All right, check this out. I got to play devil's advocate here, bro.
Go ahead.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
No. I'm just saying, man. I mean, all this stuff happened to you, you know, which is fucked up. I give you that. It's a fucked up situation to be in, but, I mean, why air people names out like that?
Because they did it.
But I'm saying, though, okay, they did it. True enough, they did it to you. But why not air them out then when it first happened? Why wait years later?
Because I was a child. And being a child, being scared, why would I do that? And I didn't have support. I didn't have a mother like everybody else out here had a mother that was by their side 24/7. I didn't grow up with a father like that. The father that I had was not my biological father. So he wasn't really concerned about my life like that because he was on drugs. My brother hated me because I was gay. My mother gave my sister away adoption. My grandmother was not playing the grandmother role that she could have played, that she should have played. My aunties and cousins, everybody else had their own life. The only people that I had at that age were my friends. And at that age, I was scared. At that age, I didn't think that it was molestation. When I turned 21, I realized it was molestation, but I still was scared. I still wasn't ready to come out. I still didn't have the courage to be like, okay, he's lying. I didn't want to stand up in front of everybody and put my business out there as far as what I did because, to me, that was not freaky. That wasn't something that I do like I'm doing now. That was something that wasn't, like, right. You know what I'm saying? As a child, when I turned 30, after that happened to me in Dallas, Texas, I said, fuck that shit. I don't give a fuck who don't believe me. I don't give a fuck who mad. I don't care if people want to kill me. It's my truth. It's something that I was living with, dealing with,
stuck in a stumbling place over 20 fucking years. 20 fucking years. Confused, wondering why I was a whore at times. Why couldn't I love nobody? Why didn't nobody love me? Why wasn't I happy? Why was I not free? Why was I not living in my truth? Why was I walking around feeling like I was ashamed? Because I was fucking molested as a child. Somebody took my damn innocence away. I didn't have what you had growing up. So when I finally got the courage and the strength to come forward and not give a fuck about what nobody got to say, and I know what I'm saying is the truth because I can tell it to you forward and backwards, write that shit down forward and backwards, it's in my damn head. It plays over every fucking day. I don't give a fuck who had. I don't give a fuck who wanted to. Do what the fuck you got to do because I told. At the end of the day, I told. It wasn't matter. It don't care if it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 fucking years. I still told. Say, man, do something to me because killing me ain't going to stop this goddamn story. I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to die any goddamn way. I was brought into the world to do something. This is what I was supposed to do, to air out motherfuckers that's not living right, to air out motherfuckers that's taking children's innocence away, to tell the fucking truth, to stand up and live in my goddamn truth, and why these last days that I'm here, I'm going to be free, happy, fucking, and smiling, and looking at motherfuckers that did me wrong, and now it's their fucking time to shine. Next question.
Okay. All right. Well, let me
I apologize for my outburst.
Let me ask you this now, okay? You came out all these years later, but at the same time, can't the next person say, well, he just came out because he getting a monetary gain. He wrote a book. He's trying to get money off this book, and that's why he's coming out now.
It don't matter how they feel. I'm not getting rich. You don't see me living up in a big ass fucking mansion, driving a fucking Bentley. I ain't get rich. I told a story. I'm happy. That was my gain from this. I'm happy and I'm fucking free. I can smile now. I can walk down the street and not have to worry. I can go somewhere and not think about them, about how they fucked up my damn life, how I was living years ago. Now I don't give a fuck. So my gain was my
all
freedom.
That baggage is gone.
My shoulders
okay.
are free. That's what
now,
matters.
I want to ask a question. Now, in the book, you kind of went through some shit, man. I mean, the prostitution, all that. I mean, was that, a lot of people want to know, was that like ad-libbed in there? Was that really what happened?
No. Everything in that book is 100%. Ain't shit made up in that book at all. Neither. I don't have time for games. I'm not trying to lie. I'm not trying to make nobody believe nothing. I'm telling you how life is. This is what happens to people when you don't have that love and support. You do what the fuck you got to do to survive, and that's what I did.
Okay. Like I told you, the reason behind me even getting you on here because I'm like, okay, this dude, I knew you had a story.
No, and I'm glad you did. And we need, you know, controversial statements. You know, you need something to say, you know, somebody to play good and bad because at the end of the day, these are questions that everybody has. It's not just you, you know. And these are questions that keep people's mind closed to where they can't believe it. I posted a post today on Stacey. I let you see her actual Facebook message. This is how this nigga works. He was trying to fuck a 13-year-old girl. You've seen it. He wrote it.
I've seen that. And this is one of the guys that allegedly touched you, right?
Say it again.
I said this is one of the guys that supposedly had touched you when you were young, right?
Yeah.
Is he in the book?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And he was the first one that threatened to sue me. Him and his fiance, Donita Smith. And we still ain't went to court yet, and it's been 4 years.
Eyes without a face,
how it all happened. He's in both of those books, and he ain't did shit. None of them have. But talk shit on Facebook or their family members get on Facebook and go back and forth. I ain't got time to be arguing with you. I'm trying to tell you what it truly is. Either you can take it or leave it. I don't give a fuck.
I don't know why people won't listen, why people won't listen. I mean, that's the whole problem. I mean,
but
so
why
lie? Even
why
even
lie?
The kids, but even when the kids tell them, even if sometimes kids
and they
tell their parents and they still don't believe them. They still
this
don't
the
believe
thing. Some women are so stigmatized. They feel like they can't get another man or this man fulfills them so much that they ain't going to believe shit that's going on. This nigga done had a whole goddamn baby in front of you. DNA test came out 99.99%, and you still saying he ain't the damn daddy. That's just how some of these women are. This shit could be right
there.
All
right, hold on, Sam. On that note, I got a question for you. It's from Stanley. Go ahead, Stanley.
Yo, how's it going, Sam? How you doing, man?
Good, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm listening to the whole story and everything that you're speaking about. And one thing about women going to always typically agree with every type of situation with somebody that comes out to be gay and anything like, oh, I support you. It's not about being supported. You have to understand that type of situation, what they're going through. So I'm listening to this whole story. And you went back and you said about different family members and this and that and everything like that. You know what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the gay situation or calling somebody out. The thing is, it's those family members that you got to call out for not being there at your rescue as a kid. You
I
see
have.
What I'm saying?
I have, though. They're in the book. I left
right.
nobody out. Nobody was left out, bro. Nobody
right, because I've never seen the book, and I'm very interested in reading this book because I'm like, man, who is this? You know. And
like,
this whole
do you have
book,
kids,
because,
bro?
Say,
do you have kids?
Yeah, I got two daughters.
Bro, you really need to read this book. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody is immune to it. You know, it's not. I don't want nobody out there thinking that this is a story about just a gay person. No, this is a story about a child. This is not a
right,
gay story. This is a story about a child.
I get that. That's what my whole thing was about. It's not about being gay because you got taken to another level because of somebody else's absence. You see what I'm saying? Somebody else's neglect on you.
Exactly.
So, you know, when other women keep saying, oh, I respect that and I respect it, it's like you're not paying attention to what he's saying to you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a whole nother level of the shit that's going on with you right now. And, you know, it's like with the grandma and the moms and the dad being on drugs and the brother hating you and all this type of shit. And then so when you start being inferior and you fighting out towards these other people, and you get turned out to this other situation, people keep saying, oh, well, you know, he was like that. You wasn't born this way. Something happened. It was an absence in your life. It's just like when you go to school and the teacher not there and you got that substitute, that's a whole other ball game that goes on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true.
It's a whole other ball game. So when people, they neglect you and they're not paying attention, well, what happened to you? Well, this happened and this happened and this happened. And they can care the fuck less. So the thing is, man, I mean, I want to check out this book and everything like that. I want to see what's going on with it and everything like that. Because, I mean, you're very intelligent from what I'm listening to. You're very intelligent. You're a smart young man and everything like that. Forget all that whole, the whole homosexuality type thing. You're a very smart individual. And there's things that you're talking about that a lot of people need to pay attention to. So when the women keep talking about, I applaud you for all this, I mean, no, that's some bullshit. Pay attention to what he's saying inside his heart. He's telling you a lot of shit. And that's what I'm listening to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, man. Yo, man, keep on doing your thing, man. I ain't going to knock
you, bro.
Hurry up. All right. Peace.
That's what's up. All right, we got Gender on the line. Gender, what's happening?
Hey, Sam, it's Gender. How are you?
Good. Hey, love. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I just want to say, again, like everybody else that has pretty much called in, I definitely support what you're doing. I have a question, even though I know the answers, but I want you to share with all of the other listeners, how many other people actually started releasing names and books and on Facebook actually have responded saying, I asked my child because they've been around this person and my child did say that they were inappropriate with them. So I kind of just want you to speak on that, because I hear people keep saying, why you wait so long? But regardless of the time, you still impacted others' lives, and I think that needs to be shared.
I didn't hear what she said because there was so much noise in the background.
Well, somebody got their TV up or something.
Jenda, repeat your question. Not the whole thing. Like
my question is, can you let the viewers or listeners know how many other people have come to you as a result of you listing names that are now associated and have experienced the same thing with these people?
See, and that's another thing that people wouldn't even believe. I've had so many inboxes that it's crazy. And I post inboxes, you know, throughout, you know, the month, because it all depends on how the inbox touched me. But there's so many other people that have been molested by people, I mean, like in our own community. Stacy, for instance, Stacy has 10 other victims. There are 4 women that he raped. There's 4 girls that he molested. 1 girl is his family member. 2 girls, Stacy got 10 people. With me, makes 11. You know, so these people, they're not just, you know, molested. They have not just molested me. Anthony has a rape victim. Alex has 2 people that he raped. 2 girls have come to me in my inbox and said that Alex raped them. So what I'm trying to say is that basically what they did to me, they didn't stop, or I wasn't the first person. You know what I'm trying to say? These pedophile starts off as a pedophile. He moves to molesting. Then he moves to a rapist. So there's a category. And at that time, I caught Stacy when he was molested. I'm not the only one. There are some girls from the Color Doors that Stacy has raped. You know, so people got to really open up their eyes. I'm not the only person. I'm just the person that came forward. That's it. Like I said, don't matter how long, people come forward when they're ready. You know, no, you can't put a rape victim out there and tell her to come forward. Everybody watches Law and Order or CSI. You've seen somebody get raped before on TV, and you've seen them go through them different emotions, and you've seen they came forward when they wanted to, and sometimes they never do. I did. I told. Deal with it.
Okay, I'm really okay. Just not to change the subject, but I'm really trying to find who the fuck got that damn TV on.
It's somebody that y'all got on.
Right.
I don't know who it is. I'm trying to find it.
I'm told y'all it's that person who said they pushed mute and they didn't. Because I heard them say they pushed mute. But that was I don't know if I asked that question earlier, but when you said you have a lot of your family that supports you now, how is your relationship with your mother?
I don't talk to my mother.
Okay. Do you have
whoa.
No.
Okay, so why do you not talk to your moms?
My mother has issues, you know. I don't think that we could ever be the mother-son relationship that I've yearned for years. And I've just learned to just let it go. You know what I'm saying? We've gone through so much. If you have to read the book to understand the relationship, the depth of our relationship. And after a person has been beat down so bad for so long, you just learn to let go and move on. I'm at an age in my life, and I'm at a time in my life where I'm not dealing with any type of negativity. I don't care who you are. I'm trying to have nothing but positivity around me, and I'm trying to educate, and I'm putting my life on the line to do it.
So I don't want anything around me that's going to bring me down. I don't need no negative comments around me. I don't need nobody telling me I shouldn't have done what I've done. You can't speak for me unless you're walking in my shoes. You can't speak for me unless you've lived my life.
So let me ask you this. Do you hold your mom at fault for what happened to you?
I did for a long time. Hell yeah, because it was her damn fault. Any
but
parent
you,
is the right
earlier
parent.
You said you didn't tell her, so how could it be her fault if you didn't
because
tell her?
Because I shouldn't, being a child, I should not have to tell my mama that somebody, and her boyfriend is touching me. You should not have to tell a parent that. If a parent,
how would you know if you don't tell them? I mean, how would they know if you don't? If okay,
gonna,
I have a
I'm
daughter. If somebody was touching my daughter,
hold on, bro. I'm
I wouldn't know if she didn't tell me.
I'm finna,
how would
I'm
I know that?
Down to you, bro. You're a parent. You love your child, right?
Correct.
You talk to your child every single day?
Correct.
Do you let your child know that it's okay for her to come to you and tell you anything in this world, and you still going to love your child?
Correct.
I didn't get that. So, no. I hold my mother accountable because being a parent, you should have known the changes within your damn child. An eight-year-old child, I see myself at 37 years old, I see myself shutting down. I see myself not smiling. I see myself not wanting to go outside. I see myself hanging next to a man that's 54 fucking years old. Something's fucking wrong. What don't you see? No,
hey, listen, man, I feel your pain.
Accountable. Yes, I hold my mother accountable, not only for being molested, but for changing my life as a teenager when I was coming up being gay. My mother had me thrown in jail. Not because I was disrespectful, not because I was bad, not because I couldn't make the grades in school. No, because I was gay. I was not growing up with what she wanted, which was a straight boy. So being that I was gay, my mother beat my ass and had me locked up 3 fucking times. Hell yeah, I blame my mama. No, we can't work it out. I'm 37. I done moved the fuck on. That's it.
What was
I don't
the
think you can blame your parent
you?
If you don't tell the parent. I don't think you can blame the
isn't
parent.
It?
If the parent didn't know, I don't see how
well,
you can blame them.
The parent should have been there. If I live with my dear mama, I wake up with my mama in the house, my mama should have known what the hell was going on. No, there's no excuses. I've been living with excuses for too damn long. It's time to tell the truth. It's time to say exactly what it is, bro. Nobody gets no pass. Nobody gets a pass. My brother should have known. But because my brother was out there in the goddamn street selling drugs and ripping and running with the same niggas whose dick I was sucking, he didn't know because he wasn't paying attention. My brother is 6 years older than me. He should have saw a goddamn change, but he didn't. My sister wasn't there to see a change. My mama gave my sister up, so she couldn't be there. And those people that was next in line, they wasn't worried about Sam. They wasn't worried about Robert. Because my name was Robert then. Nobody was worried about Robert then. Well, Robert has a voice now. Robert was a child then, 7 with a voice. And he's telling it all. And he don't give a fuck. Because Robert was a child. He's an adult now. I'm strong. I have courage. I don't give a fuck. It is what it is. Nobody gets a pass, bro.
Go through therapy?
I've went through therapy, and I do therapy for other people, and this is my therapy. I'm better today than I was 6 years ago. Trust me. Like, I was a ticking time bomb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hated people, and I felt like everybody fucked me over. Real talk. I felt like everybody just fucking left me. And I felt like, you know, like, everything that happened, somebody should have been there. Somebody should have saw something because I did tell some people. Don't get me wrong. Ain't nobody this whole story just didn't go down the line and nobody knew. No, I had friends that knew, but nobody felt that this was molestation because, again, we're living in a project. You know what I'm saying? Girls that's my age are fucking the same niggas. My friends, the people that I run with, were fucking the same niggas that I was fucking. And they knew. Me and my homegirl was fucking a nigga together. We were both having sex with Coop together. Not in the same room, but together. She would fuck him early in the day. I would fuck him at night. They knew. Don't be fooled out here like people didn't know that these niggas were fucking me. They just didn't know that they were fucking me as a child. Now, as a teenager, they knew. They may have not known about everybody. I just put a list out there on Facebook. These are all the hoods. It's not just from my hood. It's not just from the color doors. It's not just from
the 22nd. Yeah, I've seen that.
This shit is a Gary thing. It's not just in a little surrounding area. There are DDL niggas everywhere that I and all my other friends were fucking.
So, Sam, let me ask you this.
On me.
Let me ask you, bro. Okay. The HIV.
Go ahead.
The HIV accusations. I mean, he, I guess the guy, Stacy, he posted on there that you're just bitter because you're dying and shit of that nature. I mean, is there any truth to that?
There is truth to that. I don't have AIDS. I have HIV. He posted that I have AIDS. I don't have AIDS. I have HIV. And my T cell count is well over 700. So, I mean, what's next? I wrote about that. That's not a secret. I don't have shit to hide. I made sure all my skeletons were out the closet before I put people's business out there. So that way you can't use shit against me. I don't care. And when you don't care,
I guess that's the perfect way to be. Unturned.
Say it again.
I'm saying that's the perfect way to be because, I mean, and I'm going to tell you, and me and you talked earlier, and I had a family member that I wish, honestly and truly, I wish I'd have had your book 4 years ago. I really do. I really wish I'd have had your book 4 years ago because I had a family member that went through the same thing that you went through. And like I told you earlier, he self-destructed, and it was like, I wish he could have seen you. You know, I wish he could have seen you and said, damn, it's not the end of the road for me. You know, it's something left. It's something left in me. I got something to give because, I mean, I'm going to tell you, bro, I commend you on everything that you're doing. I'm not going to sit here and just, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I commend you because when I first heard about you, like I said, I first heard about you last summer. I just thought you was just the wildest dude I'd ever heard of. I'm like, this dude is wild. This dude, I mean, I'm like, well, shit, he's going to sell his book, you know? But then the more and more I got to, like, inquiring about it, like, you know, because, like I said, you had names that I knew. You had names that I knew. So I'm like, well, you know, let me ask around. Let me see what's going on. And the more I heard about it, it's like, well, no, it wasn't just – he didn't just have sex with these guys and wrote a book. They molested him. They raped him. And I'm like, well, damn, that's fucked up. So I was like, okay, he was kind of bold. You went from being wild to bold. And I was like, from there you went from being bold to I got to call you a stand-up guy, man. I really do.
Thank you, bro. I mean, but, you know, it's a lot of people out there that don't feel that, and it's a lot of people that are mad, like, pissed off to the point to where I get death threats, you know, and like I said, I was expecting that, but that shit crazy, because why would you lie on these niggas that don't know about, the world don't know them, they're not rich, they're not P. Diddy, nobody picks a name out of a secret Santa hat, you know what I'm saying? You just don't be like, oh, I'm going to pick this nigga to say that he molested me, I sucked his dick, we did it four ways to Sunday. You don't go into detail about niggas that ain't shit. If I can tell you how this motherfucker smell, if I can tell you the favorite position that he likes to fuck in, if I know this nigga is uncircumcised or circumcised, you need to open up your goddamn eyes. Listen to what the fuck
say
I'm trying to tell you. I was a 12-year-old fucking child, and I can still smell these niggas. I am 37 years old. I base my life as far as a relationship off of these men. I have made these men, all seven of them, into one man. And my ideal man was a red bone because most of my molesters were light-skinned. The dark-skinned molester, he put a gun to my head. So it made me hate gay men. The man that molested me, my mother's boyfriend, he was dark-skinned. The man who raped me at 21, he was dark-skinned. So it made me hate dark-skinned men. It made me hate dark-skinned men. Only thing I ever dated was light-skinned brothers. Can't a dark-skinned nigga tell you that I fucked them until I got into the relationship that I'm in today? It took somebody to come into my life to take away the pain to make me smile again and not realize the color of their skin. I'm racist within my own fucking color. Think about that. That's some deep-ass fucking shit. And it took me to 37 years old to realize that. Think about that. My last relationship was the red bone.
I think everybody asked except about one, your brother. How's your relationship now?
That's my best friend. My brother is like my father. He's probably on the line right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he knows everything.
I mean, that's glad to hear. I mean, that's a good thing.
I can put out a video right now, and I can say, a nigga fucked me for 20 seconds. That nigga that I'm talking about whose name that I'm not going to put out on Facebook will call my brother and be like, why is your brother doing this shit, bro? I've never put out a name where I've done videos on Facebook, but the niggas that I'm talking about, they always call my brother. Think about that. My brother get into it with all these niggas because they were all his fucking friends because they felt that they can trust him.
So let me ask you, have anybody tried to pay you to keep quiet?
No. They ain't got no fucking money.
Hell no. Just beg, please, hey man, just don't put my name in the book, please. Or say that.
But I've had niggas beg me. For instance, Maurice Monk Moody, I had him beg me, and I screenshotted all this shit and posted it on Facebook. Because now, nigga, you're gonna fucking live with it. And he in jail, but he had a cell phone. And his sister was like, that's fake. Bitch, how is it fake? I'm showing you it came from my goddamn cell phone. It's a screenshot. You stupid. You know, and that's just, it's a lot of people that's like that. No matter what they see, motherfuckers really want to sit in the room to believe it. They have to sit there to see me suck a dick or get fucked to know that I got molested. And that's fucking sad. Bitch, I'm telling you, I'm describing a nigga's dick to you. If you can't take that, if you can't take the way that I'm telling you about it, that's your goddamn problem. But when it happens to somebody else or somebody in your family, they come forward because two of the victims that came forward, they got a lot of family. You know what I'm saying? Some crazy family. And their family was like, oh, shit, like, bro, like, that's wild as fuck. I didn't believe you. And now my cousin coming forward. You know what I'm saying? It took your cousin to come forward for you to believe me. If I wasn't a nigga, you would have believed me. If I was a bitch, you would have believed me. But because I was a nigga and because I waited so long, nobody don't believe me.
Okay, now let me ask, man. You posted, you said something about it earlier. You posted that notebook on Facebook today. I mean,
a journal page.
Okay, was that to let motherfuckers know it's more to come?
Oh, the list. Yeah. It's not that I'm going to put that out there, but it's to let you know. For one, it's like, don't try me. Two, it's like you think it's just the east side. That's not the case. It's everywhere. It's not just one particular side or one neighborhood. It's everywhere.
Yeah, because, I mean, I heard, now, my thing is I heard you ran roughshod through the east side. I heard that was it. You just ran roughshod through the east side.
Yeah,
here.
I did.
Like,
I was a hoe, nigga.
I was a nigga. Yeah, I did.
I nigga fuck niggas. You know, I nigga be fucking bitches. I was fucking niggas. I was a hoe. For real. You know what I'm saying? I got through the east side real good. I know everybody. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these girls that are my friends on Facebook, I just slept with their damn baby daddy.
Well, okay, now I got to ask. I mean, I don't know you personally, you know, so it's like, did you dress up like a woman? I mean, were you always just like a straight guy?
You know what? Now, that's funny because growing up as a
how the hell did you entice these dudes? That's what I'm trying to figure out. So somebody saw that.
That's hilarious.
I know.
Seriously, I'm trying to figure out how the fuck did he entice these guys.
But think about it. Think about it. He said these hood niggas. Most of these hood niggas that went to jail and did penitentiary time. So if you're the penitentiary, some of these niggas is fucking niggas. That's where it starts from. The niggas fucking niggas in the penitentiary, then they come back to the street and they end up doing the same shit. Like he said, you know what I'm saying? They the hardest nigga. They the hardest nigga on the street. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they still fucking a nigga.
Growing up, I was very feminine. I had a bob. I had finger waves. I had pink curls. I was feminine. I was like a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really dress up like a girl, but I was a bitch in every type of way. And
so you played the part.
I played the part. Yeah, I played the part. I was the bitch.
Okay.
Like, literally, I was a bitch. So I got treated like a bitch. I got paid like a bitch, too. Like a real good bitch because I had some dirt on your ass. But you kept me covered. I was very straight. I didn't have to worry about that. But growing up, as the older that I've got, I matured. You know, I became more masculine. I started to not wear my sexuality on my shoulders because I live in fucking-ass America where my own don't accept me because I'm gay, but they'll accept a murderer, a rapist, or a pedophile quick as hell. I mean, you got those that support Stacey. They'll let you know right there.
Okay, so now you say you met someone. I mean, how does he deal with the fact that you're HIV positive?
You want to talk to him and ask him?
Sure.
Damn.
This ain't no game. This ain't no game. This ain't no remote control. This ain't no motherfucking movie. This is real life. Here you go.
What's up, dog? What's up, bro?
I'm chilling, man. What's going on?
Shit, we chilling, man. We just sitting back kicking it. Hey. I guess he told me to ask you, so I'm going to ask you. How do you deal with the fact that, I mean, you know, he said that you're his everything. So, I mean, with that being said, how do you deal with the fact that he's HIV positive, did it bother you in the least?
He's my everything, so I don't worry about anything. You know, the HIV, it's very rampant in the gay community. You know what I'm saying? It gets spread around a lot. And myself being, you know, a gay man, it was given to me not by choice, myself. So, you know, it's not something that I worry about, stress about, and all this shit that everyone, you know, come at them with. They better come correct. That's all. You know, just watch what you say.
So you're HIV positive as well?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, I thought that's what you were saying. So you got his back. So motherfucker come at him, you got his motherfucking back, right?
200.
Oh, that's what's up. That's how you supposed to be, bro. That's how you supposed to be. Now put his crazy ass back on the phone.
Hello.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Actually, you knew I was.
Yeah.
Man, I got to say that this has been a very, very interesting show. And, Sam, we made it through without no attacks.
That's what's up. I mean, I was kind of waiting for you to know.
I said, Sam, I look. It just don't seem right. You know what I'm saying? When you've been going through attacks for so long, bro, like.
I just was kind of like, you know. I mean.
I told you I had your back, man. I told you I had your back.
You know. You know,
well,
when you come
hold on, man. We got another question, though. Big Mike had a question. Big Mike, go ahead with your question, bro.
Hey, what's up? I have an important question I wanted to ask you. Have you thought about, you know what I'm saying, talking to the youth and telling them, you know, these streets out here, it is real out here, and I've been listening to the whole conversation from the time I got off work. My thing is that for you, bro, have you thought about, you know what I'm saying, talking to the kids and telling them, you know what I'm saying, this ain't the road, you know what I'm saying, to be heading now.
Yeah, actually,
if you are following me on Facebook or just listen out, I'm moving in silence right now. You're going to see something real big that's just strictly put forward to our youth. This is my reason for being here. I put my all into this, and you're going to see it coming forward real soon, and you're going to be like, damn, like, bro, like, that's why he wrote those books, because he's living in his truth, and he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do to help the youth. You're going to see that real soon.
I mean, you know, we all go through something, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm not trying to downgrade nobody, you know what I'm saying? But, you know,
you're right, bro. You're absolutely right. Everybody has a cross. Everybody has a story.
And, you know, like you said, it's real out here. These streets out here, it's not a game.
They're not.
You know what I mean? But, you know, keep doing your thing. You know what I'm saying, man? You know, hey, keep on talking to the kids, whatever. You know what I mean? Let them know, hey, this shit is real out here. You know what I'm saying? It really is.
Thanks, bro.
No problem.
All right. My brother trying to call in.
No. Did he hit one?
He's saying he did. He's texting me. You want me to click him in?
Yeah, just click him in. I don't see him on here.
All right, hold on.
Tama, you see him?
No, I don't.
He's like a robot, y'all. Y'all ever notice that? He paused. No, I don't.
I don't see him, motherfucker.
Be cool about it, man.
Never mind. Never mind. I can't get through.
I mean, all the other, if he's listening, just tell him. If you're listening, big bro, just press one, man. Press one, and we bring you in. All
right, I'm texting on that.
So do you have any children?
I don't have biological children. I have all my nieces and nephews. I have my brother and my sister. I have 6 nieces and nephews and 2 great-great-children. I mean, nieces. But, yes, those are my children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, sure. I mean, like I said, oh, man, this is like, okay, I see we do got some new callers. I guess Father Time got them. But, yeah, this has, like, just been totally just, like, wow. I mean, well, damn. Sam, I guess you got a lot more people want to speak to you.
Nothing for the building.
Timer, where are you?
Well, I asked a question. You know, I think I had, you know, since, you know, I had my children and the things
Hello?
We go through, do you find yourself talking
to
my
brother? Yeah, I'm trying to.
That's my brother. That's my brother right there.
Hi.
Oh, that's the brother.
Hello.
Hi, what's up, big bro?
What's up, though, man? Hey, I want to answer that question the old boy was saying about the relationship me and my brother got. That's my motherfucking heart, man. I would die and go to hell for that dude. You hear me?
That's
and all that shit they were saying about them niggas over here where I'm at, I'm out here. I don't even see them niggas. Them niggas don't even want to see me, fam. And I wish a motherfucker would say something or do something to my little brother. You hear me?
But you ain't even got to be like that around me because it is what
I understand
it is.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, though.
It's not even a physical thing. It's a mental thing. Because
I understand, and I'm hurt because I grew up with them niggas,
and what they did was come to me after they finished doing what they doing, they come smiling my fucking face,
like
ain't
nothing
happened.
That's
the part that hurt me.
Get off.
Cause I never did no shit like that to their family.
Take it off speakerphone.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I can imagine that, man. I mean, here these motherfuckers supposed to be your motherfucking homies, your dogs, your ace. and they going behind your back doing this old snake-ass shit to your brother, and then come back in your face smiling. So I can imagine the anger and the pain that you have, bro.
And I got to look at this shit every day, and then it's like when my brother say something, and they inbox me, calling me, why my brother doing this? What you mean why he doing it? Why did you do this to my baby brother? Not my little brother, my baby brother. You feel me? So I'm going through some bullshit that these niggas swear like up and down like ain't nothing happened. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, y'all. Everybody, hold on for a second. We don't have a lot of time left. Sam, I got your mom on the line. Go ahead, Mom.
Yes. What I'm saying is that what I was going to say was what Romy was speaking about was that what he was going through, what I am going through, but I don't have a problem because I don't have any fear. My thing is every mother loves her child. Every mother loves her child, okay? And a mother's love is deeper than the deep blue ocean. And I am glad that he is bringing out what he is bringing out about what happened to him and these other different things. But what he has to realize is it start at the top, and it trickled down to the bottom of the totem pole. So, yes, we have to know what is going on, what is going on, what has gone on. We cannot read anybody's mind. A person can come to you in a way, you know, a certain way or whatever. You don't know who they are until you get with them. Then you realize who they are, because they're not going to show you what they're all about or who they are. If you don't know, you don't know until you know. And when you know, that's when you do something about it. But let me tell you this. When you go to the Peace Policy Employees Enforcers Department to give them this information of what's going on, they turn their back on you. That's what they have done. That's what they will do. And the child protection service and all of that, they're not about our children. Let's get this straight. They play in a game. They don't care about us. They do not care about us. And if they don't care about us, only our family must care about each other. I love my child with all my heart and soul. And I don't have, like I said, I don't have no fear. And wherever I go, that's where I'm going. Whatever go on or whatever, I'm not. Again, I don't have any fear because I know what has happened. I know how it has happened. I know how people are, and they can and befriend you, cook for you in the whole nine yards, and do you at the same darn time. And I'm giving facts. Okay, when you have life experience, you know these things. Then you try to give to your children. You try to tell them things that's out here. I tried to tell Sam, baby, I love you. I mean, I love you with all my heart and all my soul and everything inside of me. I love my children, period. And I ain't the way in the world I'm going to stand back and let someone harm my child and know about it. That's not going to happen. I am going to go to the right people to get the job done. But everybody, I'm telling you, all these Peace Policy employees, servants, and enforcers, half of them are not listening. If there is no sign of any type of abuse, they turn their back. And not only that, they'll give the child right back to the parent. I was a foster mother as well. So I know what they will do. I have experienced this thing. So that's why I am very proud of my child. Going out, letting people know what's going on, what can happen, and the whole nine yards. But at the same time, we got some evil people out here. I'm talking about totally evil. And yes, he needs to go and speak about it, but it's not going to do any good because it's happening at the top of the pyramid. That's the problem. You see, and trickling on down to the bottom of the pyramid. And then because, look, just like in Michigan City, they put out a thing. They said, if you're having sex or whatever, you can get 15 years if you're having anal sex or oral sex. But then they tell them you can get married. Do you understand where I'm coming from? You see what I'm saying? They don't care about our children. And if we don't care about them, then they are out of luck. I love Matt.
What I carried in my stomach for that month, I love was mine. And, I mean, I have gone through some things that is just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. You'll be surprised. People talk a good talk, but they don't have your back. They only talk a good talk.
Okay, well, Ma.
I want to give
Sam a chance to receive the response to this.
Sure.
Sam, well, yeah.
Of course.
I don't really have a response to that, bro.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
I have a response because, you know, I understand how you feel, Sam, and I'm just coming from a personal, somebody who's been through that. My name is Janine. You will never totally heal completely until you forgiven people. Even though that you feel that they've done you some type of way.
Let me say this. I forgive my mother with all my heart. That's why I'm able to move on and smile and be happy. That's forgiveness right there. I just don't really have time for any type of negativity in my life. I don't have time for somebody to come into my life and then 20 minutes later or a couple of days later spit back some stuff to me. I don't have time for that right now, Janine. Life is too short, and right now what I'm trying to do is move forward to make sure that nobody else goes through what I've gone through. So those people, my mother, I love her dearly, but I moved on. You cannot allow somebody to continue to beat you down. You can't. You can't go through life like that, and you're right. You are absolutely 110% right. You have to forgive, and that's why I'm able to sit here right now today and talk to y'all. And not cry.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know that I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Before we end the show, we got one more question.
I'll be going on air also, and I will give the date and time, and I will have that coming out on when I will be going on air.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, we got one more question before we get out of here. The last question is from Lanita. Go ahead, Lanita.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Lanita, how you doing, Auntie?
I'm doing fine, and you say, you know.
That's my best friend, Auntie.
You know, I had to call to show you that, you know, this family has always got your back. You know that, right? We always going to be there. We done fought, beat up, brought. We done did some of everything together. We always love you, and you know we got you. When you come to get that pie, baby.
When you come
to get that sweet potato pie, baby, just let me know.
You know I call you on the low and let you know that one.
All right, then. You stay strong.
I am. Thank you. I love you.
And I'm going to continue to pray for you, honey. And I'm going to pray for your protection because, honey, we're not worried about these folks. We ain't never been worried about them folks. We ain't going to start worrying about them now.
No, baby, you can't worry about that. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. I'm not worried about that. I'm all good over here. You know what I'm saying? I lived in fear and in a stumbling block for 20 years. I'm free. So whatever happens, happens. Know that I'm good. Know that I was here. Know that I made a difference for somebody else, and I just didn't look out for Sam. I looked out for everybody's child. I put my life on the line for this. Know that.
We know, and I love you so.
Thank you.
Okay. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, y'all, on that note, go ahead and tell them the name of your books, brother, before we get up out of here.
The name of my book is called Eyes Without a Face and How It All Happened. You can find both of them on my website at www.SamuelHolloway3.com. Again, that's www.SamuelHolloway3.com. Or go on Amazon and you can read both You can read three chapters for free on both books by clicking on Amazon. And like I said, I just want to say that first I want to thank everybody for real, for real. I want to just let y'all know that, this story is not about me. This story is about children. It's about our youth. I'm just the voice behind the book. I beg everybody, stop looking at my shell. Stop looking at me because I'm a gay man. Look at me because I'm a person. Look at me as your child. Look at me as your brother, your sister, your cousin, a family member, a best friend. Think about those people that have gone through something and has never told anybody because they expected everybody to call them a liar or shun them or reject them. We got to start opening up our eyes and know that things happen and people do live two lives that you know nothing about. The next time somebody comes to you and tells you that they've been touched or you feel that they've been touched because you recognize a different pattern, say something. Save a life. Save a child.
That's what's up, man. Mm-hmm. I said, man, I greatly appreciate you coming on the show, man. I mean, you know, hey, this was interesting, man. This was beyond interesting. I mean, like I said, I'm getting texts saying that you done brought tears to their eyes, and you know, everybody's happy for you, and you know, and like I said once again. But that one, I got to say this one more time, Sam. But that punk motherfucker who sent me that motherfucker bullshit, that he stayed on the show the whole motherfucking time. Now, if you got a motherfucking problem with me, bring your motherfucking ass to the circle. I'll handle your motherfucking ass my goddamn self.
Yeah, I just want to say again, too, people got to stop looking at me because I'm gay when I tell this story. If I wasn't gay, think about how you would react to the story. If I was just a man, one of your homeboys, or if I was a girl, think about how you would react. Stop letting this sexuality get in the way of the real story. This is a bigger picture. That's all I'm trying to tell you. If I wasn't gay, it wouldn't be a problem.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I put my life on the line.
Like I said,
I'm speaking from the heart, so... I mean, people got to – sometimes people throw you rocks and sometimes people throw you gems. I'm 37 years old, and I've learned the difference between the two, you know. And this is – like I said, nobody picks names out of a secret Santa hat, man. Nobody does that. These niggas ain't going to get me rich. They're not going to get me where I want to be in my life. Something else has to take place for that to happen. I'm trying to tell a story. I'm trying to save lives. I'm trying to educate.
That's for sure. I mean, man, this has been a great show, man. Hey, check it out, y'all. SinCityRadioShow.com. Feel free to get on there, create a post, create a page, Sam, you know. Hey, you can go on there, put your information on there where the book sales and everything get. So that way people come, hey, y'all want to go see what is that? SinCityRadioShow.com. I mean, you all going to put a page up, right, Sam?
Yeah, of course.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Man, hoo-wee. We made it, Sam. We ain't got to cut nobody out.
That's for sure.
I thought you was going to lose it towards the end, but, hey, you came through like a trooper, dog. I thought you was going to lose it at the end.
Look, are we still on the air or we good?
We're still, like, if anybody want to listen to this, they can hit the link. Now, as far as streaming, we're no longer streaming on Gangsterville Radio, but we're still on air.
Okay. I just was kind of, it took me back when my mom came on the phone, and you know how you wouldn't know it unless you've been through it. And I just had, like, immediate, just flashbacks, you know, like I didn't feel like my mom didn't like my mom knew or anything. No, she did not know. But after being told, I felt like she was ashamed, you know, like she was embarrassed or she was worried about what other people was going to say. So it wasn't like, you know, hey, let me comfort my child. You know, my mom beat me right after her boyfriend molested me, right after I told her. She beat the hell out of me. That's not a belt. It was a metal rod. My mom beat my ass. And that's never, ever going to leave me. I don't think I'm never going to forget that ass whooping, you know, and getting beat by three different dudes of a nigga that I was not with no more. That beating was kind of equivalent to that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I forgive my mother with all my heart. I had to, man.
Like, I knew that I had to forgive everybody, even though that nobody was going to say, I'm sorry, you know, for what mm-hmm. I've done. But I had to forgive them, not for them. I had to forgive them for me because I was not happy. Like, I truly could not smile. And I look at all my pictures now, man, I smile so damn hard, and it's because I've forgiven them. I let that shit go. You know, it is what it is. I can't cry over spilt milk, but at the same time, I don't want a relationship with my mama. I don't, because I've done that over and over and over. I just did it the summer before last, and I seen my mom in Gary, Indiana, bro. I went back for our family reunion, and I seen my mom. I had just drove 12 fucking hours, and I was high as shit, too. You know what I'm saying? And I seen my mom, and I had not seen my mom in a minute, and I felt like a child. I felt like a kid where I wanted to just run up and feel like, you know, mom, I love you so much. You know, give me a hug. Because when I get sick or when I get down, when I used to get sick and get down, the first person that I think about is my mother. You know, that
well,
mother's comfort.
I think that would be anybody.
I see my mama.
I think that's
mother.
Anybody, yep.
Yeah, I seen my mother, and she told me don't touch her. She told me not to touch her. She told me to stand back. And that, like, it was like, okay, Sam, like, you got to realize, like, you're a grown man. Like, she can't keep tearing you down because when I'm down, I'm down. I'm down to where I want to commit suicide, where I try to commit suicide. Like, and suicide is the hardest thing that anybody – that's the hardest decision ever to make in your life, period, point blank. That is the hardest. And people say that, you know, that's the easy way out. No, you got to sit there and think about that shit. You have to think, how am I going to do that? And when my mother brings me down, it brings me down to suicide. I'm 37 years old. I know what hurts me. I know what not to do. I know where not to go. I know what avenues not to take. I stay in my goddamn lane. I'm not going to open up that door. That's a hard door to close. And everybody wants a mother. If your mom is not dead and your mom is alive, you know you want your mother. I don't have
You're always longing for it. And when the relationship isn't there, you know, you go through things because of that.
Yeah, you do. That's hard, man, for real. I pray for my mama every single night. I pray for my mama every night. I will walk the ocean. I can't fucking swim. You know what I'm saying? My mama was in trouble, man. I would jump. I would just jump. But as far as relationship, I'm not doing that shit to myself. My T-cell count is up. When you stress, your T-cell count falls. I'm not trying to have AIDS. I'm not trying to die from that. I'm going to die from something else. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to bring me down nor steal my joy.
That's what's up. That's what's up. All right, man, before we get out, because we done ran over, man, because I know they probably going to hang up on us because we ran over last night, too. Somebody fell asleep. I don't know who the fuck that was. But, man, before we get out of here, Sam, you got any last words you want to say, man?
Thank you. Thank you, for real.
Wow, man, it's been a pleasure having you on, man. It really, truly has. It really has. All right. Janae, you got your last words?
Yeah, this is a great show. You know, I really enjoy, you know, talking with you, Sam, and everybody. And just keep your head up, you know. When I think about, you know, your story, I'm not thinking about you as a gay person. I'm just thinking about the whole situation, you know, and everything that you've been through. So, you know, and there are many children that have been through it, that are still going through it. And just so you know, you are not alone.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's what's up. Tama, you got any last words?
Man, thank everybody for calling. Thank everybody for listening to us on the internet, SinCityRadioShow.com. Peace, love, and head grease. And as my man would say, thank you. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you.